As with a few of our episodes this series, this podcast has been recorded remotely. Also, there is a link that you can use to talk to us, to ask us any questions, to make any comments, say where you agree or disagree with us, pose a dilemma, make a prayer request, and it's all anonymous as well. So please, please, please click on that link and get in touch with us.
Yeah, just the two of us today, by the way. Just the two of us. You can make it if you try. Yeah, anyway. Oh, yeah. Wait, is it Monday? Oh no, so
Tuesday.
We've passed our 1 year anniversary.
Justin, man.
It's alright. Bunny, man, anyway. We love you, Justin. Yeah, 1 year. Thank you for everyone that's tuned in and stuff and listened to our voices. Yeah, man. Another year's coming. Hopefully 2021 is you know, a less traumatic year, but you know, it's a bit of a mad thing at the moment, so yeah, we carry on, innit? So let's get into it.
Hello from The Edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
Are you locked into the After Sundown Podcast?
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about to be a mazzoline still.
The privilege of prayer. So when I was thinking about it, I thought, what a strange title again, kind of. I never really had privilege and prayer in the same sentence. You know, privilege is a thrown around word nowadays for other reasons, but so what is prayer? Yeah, when I was looking about prayer or whatever, Google didn't really give me a sufficient answer. It was basically talking about like a divine interaction between God and us. I thought that was a bit simplistic. I think how I define prayer is literally just you talking to God. Essentially you conversating with God. Like, it's a, because I think Google defined it as like a one-way thing, but it's definitely a two-way thing. Like, you talk, he answers, he talks, you tell him what's on your mind, you know what I mean? So yeah, what do you think?
Prayer is a conversation with God. So that's in a nutshell how I see it.
You're trying to think of something else. If you don't have anything else, it's calm.
I just
thought that the privilege thing. So
privilege of prayer. I can comment on that if that's right.
Go on.
So there's a hymn, and it's called, I think it's called "Take It to the Lord in Prayer." The title.
Oh,
right.
I think there's another gospel song like that.
There is, yeah. There's a song called "Take It to the Lord in Prayer." So, that's the newest one. There's another one that's like, take it to the Lord.
Yeah, I know that song. I know that song as well.
Yeah, and then there's the original hymn of it, which is the lyrics are, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer, right? And there's that word, privilege. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And then it goes on to say, oh, what peace we often forfeit. So, like, imagine, it's like throwing away something that's valuable, peace, right? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Carrying stones for no reason. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer, right? So it's this privilege that we don't take a hold of, It's like having a check and never going to the bank to cash the check.
Imagine.
Why do you pray?
The reason why I pray is because I just know that when I pray, someone is definitely listening, whether I feel a response or not. I know that for my own kind of mental well-being, that God is hearing what I'm saying and understanding. When sometimes if I talk to people, it's hard to communicate effectively. So praying kind of gives me a fail-safe of making sure that at least there's one person who hears and understands.
You know what? My church actually gave me a check store when I went to uni for the first time.
When did you cash it?
I cashed it.
Week one.
Immediately.
There we go.
And I used it for studying.
Oh, here he is.
Oh, there.
I thought it was going to be the two of us.
Nah. I knew he was going to come at some point.
Eventually.
Yo, Rose.
Yo.
Oh, go on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm about to fall asleep still.
I 100% knew that.
Do you know, I can't even be mad at that, to be honest. Because I was asleep too, like. It's been a tiring week.
So, let's go into it. So, when I was listening to it, should we only pray when we feel like it? I remember there's been a few times where people have like said, I don't really pray when I feel like it. And to be fair, I've kind of done that as well. I've only prayed when, you know, when you're stressed or when you're really going through it, innit? So, yeah.
Right. I don't know. I'll let Just go first.
Justin just woke up, so.
My answer to that would be no. I think we should pray. So, I can't remember if it's in this chapter or if it's somewhere else that I was reading.
It's further down, I think.
Where Ellen White, the writer of this chapter, of this whole book really, describes prayer as being the breath of the soul. And when I think of breath, or when I think of breathing and the importance of breathing, so different people can hold their breath for different amounts of time, right? But eventually, if you hold your breath long enough, something's going to happen, and that is you're going to die. Mm-hmm. So if praying is equivalent to breathing, if we don't pray long enough spiritually and eventually literally, we will die.
Mm-hmm.
Or ultimately we'll die. So we must, it's rare that we go, I don't want to breathe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So prayer must become that unnatural, or we must ask God to make it that unnatural for us to go, Lord, I don't want to talk to you today. Because to do that is to disconnect ourselves from life itself, literally life. Because God is life. Not only does he have it, he actually is life. There's a Bible verse which tells us to pray without ceasing. And that Bible verse is found in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6 to 28. It's particularly verse 17, pray without ceasing. So prayer must be something that we do continually. Just like breathing. But it's not always naturally we don't find that easy.
I pray because I want to talk to God.
It's that dependence, isn't it? That like it's because I know in somewhere in this chapter it was talking about how we treat our friends or how we treat I don't know, you know, the people that like you really care about. I think everyone kind of has at least one person that they like really care about, and you communicate with that person, even if you don't communicate with that person every day, every time you do, it's meaningful, it's sincere. And it was kind of talking about that in terms of God as well, innit? In terms of like, because we love them, we talk to them. So because our love, our love for God, like, is reflected in how much we talk to him, and how much we pray to him. And so if we don't pray to God, it's kind of showing us that we don't really love God as much as we say we do.
Prayer obviously is obviously very important, and obviously if we don't pray, I feel like we just kind of lose our sense of self, if that makes sense. Well, if we don't pray, like, obviously, would you say that prayer is basically the only form of communication that we have with God?
Yeah.
So obviously if you don't communicate with obviously the Father, or you don't communicate with God himself, then like how are you talking, if that makes sense? You wouldn't if you want someone to do something for you, and obviously you don't communicate that you want someone to do something for you, then how does that person know, if that makes sense?
No, 100%. I think you talk to people, like the people that are in your life that you care about, you don't just talk to them to get stuff from them, you talk to them just about stuff that's going on in your life as well, innit? So
yeah, definitely.
So I think like God wants us to obviously like he talks about like reverence or whatever. There's a plaque in my church and that says like reverence my sanctuary, and it. So God is a God that he wants respect in it. Like he doesn't want us to come to him, I don't know, like disrespecting him, but like the prayer, he just wants communication with man. I think he's not even looking for man to do it, because there are formats in terms of like, you know, you have the Lord's Prayer and stuff, and there's a place in the is that the place in the New Testament, is that what they call the Lord's Prayer when Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray?
That's in the New Testament. Yeah,
is that called the Lord's Prayer though?
That's what we've come to call it.
I thought it was the other one, but yeah. So
yeah, that is the Lord's Prayer. It's I want to say it's Matthew 5 or 6, but I want to say Matthew 5.
Yeah. So there is
Matthew 5.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
yeah.
So there's a format to it, but God's not telling us like kneel down, like he's not telling us like.
Although it is good to. Sorry.
Yeah. Do your thing, but be respectful. In the car, you can pray to God. In your house, you can pray to God. Like it talks about that different. Like it talks about, I like in this chapter, it talks about the different ways people pray as well, because it's talking about public and private prayer as well, which we'll kind of get into more detail and stuff. But yeah,
right.
Oh no, I think it's Matthew 6.
Is it 6?
I think it's. I think
it's one of the two.
Well.
It's somewhere quite early on in 6. Matthew 5 or 6.
Is that our Father who art in heaven?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know? God's will is done in heaven. So it's crazy that like we don't let God have his will in our own lives, and yet the angels obey him.
He talks about that as well in here. He talks about their desire to be next to God.
Yeah.
But we'll just neglect it. You get me? Yeah. And it kind of shows that our like the angels is us, that we're just like, we're kind of just stubborn, you know, like as just a race of people, like we're just very stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that in myself, of like we kind of just want to be self-sufficient. We kind of just want to do our own thing and be left alone.
Yep.
Kind of thing, and yeah, who I am, but that's not how we were created to be. That's like a result. That selfish desire in us is like a result of sin. Whereas the angels, they're made perfect, but they also realize from seeing what happened in heaven previously that they need God. You know what I mean? Like,
So there's two reasons why I pray. First one is to kind of get stuff off my chest. I got a lot to say. And the other one is, just confession of sins, isn't it? Really.
So, opening paragraph, I'll read it as quick as I can. Through nature and revelation, through his providence and by the influence of his spirit, God speaks to us. But these are not enough. We need also to pour out our hearts to him. In order to have spiritual life and energy, we must have actual relationship with our Heavenly Father. Our minds may be drawn out toward him. We may meditate upon his works, his mercies, his blessings. But this is not, in the fullest sense, communing with him. In order to commune with God, we must have something to say to him concerning our actual life. God wants to have, like, you know, oftentimes in society, maybe in general, God is painted as a distant God, a distant and removed God who has nothing to do with his creation. But when we dig into it, really, we see that God is not distant. God actually wants to talk to us. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just want us to admire his handiwork. He doesn't just want us to admire the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. To actually commune or communicate or be in touch with God, we must have something to say to him concerning our lives. Not only does God want us to talk to him, but he wants us to talk to him about our lives, our actual life. So, like, he actually cares. God actually cares. There's,
Why do I pray? I pray because when I pray, I don't need to worry.
Now, before you continue,
yeah.
I want to say something like that. Obviously, saying that kind of like struck something because, like, I think it was either this morning or yesterday. I'm not too sure. Like, literally, my nap brain is still on, but like, I just remember having a conversation yesterday with God, and like, do you know those conversations that you just don't, that you know you're having, but it's like deeper than it's ever been.
Yeah.
So it's like yesterday, I just remember like I think I was praying, talking,
me too,
communicating. Huh?
Me too. Carry on.
Yeah, but obviously I was literally, I think I was praying about like what I wanted in my life, what I needed, forgiveness. Obviously,
amen.
Like, let's expose ourselves for a bit. Yeah, this whole thing that we're going
go back again. Like, it glitched. Someone doesn't want us to expose. go back. It's glitching. hang on.
It's not me. Obviously, your connection.
You know what? Carry on. I think whatever was bleeped needed to be bleeped.
I didn't say anything. But like,
it glitched. So you're gonna have to say what you said again. Yeah. To a degree. Yeah.
Obviously, I just remember having a bad conversation yesterday. Just praying. I know when I'm praying deep is when I'm praying like stuff that's just coming up and it's like raw. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, yeah, that too. And then this over and that. Obviously one of the things that we're going through, obviously, is the thing that obviously was going through is like, mandem. And obviously, this challenge that we're doing, obviously, I remember praying for that as well. That specifically. And I was I was like, mad. Like, it kind of helped. It set my mind.
There's an episode where we have to say exactly what this challenge is.
We ain't saying it.
Not yet, but like,
you know, we'll say it like later.
Nah, yeah,
later.
Two years.
But like, let's put it this. So, carry on, Justin.
So yeah, obviously, I remember having that conversation. I was like, raw, like for me, prayer was like for me, prayer is only deep when like I'm basically one sec.
Mm-hmm. Whilst Justin's muted for that just that moment. Like yesterday, you know, every now and then God is constantly knocking at the door of the heart, right?
Literally, like, people's moms were just knocking just then. But go on.
Bro. God is constantly knocking at the heart's door. And then the decision has to be made. Do I open and let him into the house? Or do I... And it's so funny that it's a house. Do you remember the parable that Jesus tells of the man possessed by a demon? that
where the pigs are not.
He tells a story where a man, a demon is cast out of this man's house, and the man tidies and sweeps the house and makes it clean. But then the demon goes about, and when he cannot find a home, he comes back to the home that he left, that he had to leave. And when he finds the house empty, he brings 7 more demons with him. Right?
And sounds like a good time.
That parable there, where here's the question. Let me join the two. The house is clean and empty. A demon has been cast out of this house. God has helped us conquer some demon. God has helped us conquer some sin. There's a demon that's cast out. Then Christ comes and knocks at the door and says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. Right? So Christ saying, the house is clean. He's knocking at the door. If we do not let Christ in, when the demon comes back again and finds it empty, he brings 7
more. Bring in 7.
On the other hand, friends, though, if we let Christ in, when this demon comes around the second time, he knocks at the door, but he knows there's a power there that he cannot contend with. And it's not even you who comes and opens the door, and it's Christ who comes to the door and says, go away, you demon. What are you doing here?
May I help you?
May I? So like, but that thing of Christ wanting to, the verse that I was thinking about is Isaiah 1 verse 18. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now here's one of the things he wants to reason with us with. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Here's why. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, though they be like as red as crimson, they will be as wool. Essentially, Christ wants to reason with us, and he promises, and one of the things he's coming to reason with us about is sin. And can I say this?
Yeah, drop it.
Like the
say what?
Part, like, part of this challenge, like the challenge that, like, the challenge that a lot that some people have that we've opted into. is that too obvious? It's too obvious. I don't care.
The challenge that we've opted into is
a challenge for God to help us overcome that, and he promises to. It. And one of the things that we ought to do for it to be fulfilled is to talk to him.
Nah, definitely. But do you know what I was gonna say? Obviously, this for I feel like this challenge that we're doing, it's just this is something that's simple, because there's obviously like things that are like there's things that are likely to like take us out if we obviously not okay. This is something simple. And obviously, this is like something that could like stop lots of future things that could like occur in the future.
Oh man!
But obviously, in the past, now speaking about me personally, it was a thing where like with the whole. Like one demon being cleansed, or one demon being cast out, and then obviously you clean up your house, you tidy your home, you make sure everything's in order, and obviously God knocks, and then it's just like, oh, like I'm not there to answer the door, or it's like I don't hear the doorbell because obviously I changed the batteries, and then obviously
do you know what it is?
So obviously that, huh?
Do you know what it is? So I think what it is sometimes, or for me anyway, sometimes it's been like. I'm the one who's cleaning the house, and I'm not letting Christ in to come and, you know,
clean like, the house with you.
Yo,
to like communicate and talk and clean the house together.
Yeah,
is that and self-sufficiency though?
Self-sufficiency, nah,
literally,
Cam.
Literally,
that's how I've been before. Yeah.
No, but obviously, I was saying though, like, so obviously, when that does happen, and obviously, like, the demons, like, rah, like the same kind of you're using the same kind of cleaner. You're using that Tesco value cleaner. You're not using Dentist. Like, when that does happen, it's like, this person ain't learned their lesson. Let's now add more bacteria to it. Let's add this kind of sin. Let's add this type of sin. Let's introduce him to this, and then it's like, raw. More things are coming now. More things are occurring, and it's like, raw. Like I just cleaned this mess. Like, why is more happening? And all we need to do is just like. Open when we do open that door and like kind of block out that 99.9% bacteria is gone. literally, mm-hmm. like with God, and obviously you're communicating, and obviously you're having that conversation, then it's like all of that stuff, it should basically go away. But that's just that constant communication, and obviously that constant cleaning and getting rid of all of that foolishness, all of that gunk. Not skipping out no places as well, like no places for that now, for that thing to come back into your life and all your care, of course.
A quick quote from the book. Yeah. There's another book that Ellen White wrote called Acts of the Apostles, and she writes in like chapter 30, "One sin cherished is sufficient to work degradation of character and to mislead others." Another way I heard it put by a guy called Michael Carducci, he said, "If you open a door, if there's a snake on the other side of a door," and I love that it's a snake. Anyway, if there's a snake on the other side of the door, and the snake is huge, you know, and you only open your door 10 centimeters, he asks the question, how much of the snake can get in? And it sort of says, like, to me, anyway, about sin, one sin is a wedge or is a foot in the door to let so much else in. We're kind of talking about, well, anyway, we're still talking about, I guess, sort of the importance of prayer.
We are. Because in the book as well, which I found interesting, was it was talking about like these two extremes of how people can go. Mm-hmm. So it was talking about people trying to remove themselves completely and just pray. But it said that God doesn't want that. That's not a healthy prayer life. And it said that to do that and neglect God's work is like, that's the wrong thing to do. And then I think it gave another example. But I think that example stood out to me because it was kind of saying that it's not just prayer, but it's about what you're praying about. And like, because the reason why it said that was wrong was because your prayers start to be all about yourself. It's basically saying that some people basically try and live like monks and like, they try and like, hermit, and essentially try and like, just like pray, eat, sleep, you know what I'm saying? And that's not what God is asking us to become like, because that helps no one but ourselves. And we're not in this life, we're not just trying to pray for ourselves. We're trying to pray for other things. Hence why, you know, the verse that you read like when before the podcast started, and you was talking about like virtue and things of good report, we need to consider other things outside. We need to consider pray for other people that aren't Christian. Pray for other people that, you know, are just going through something, or praying for ourselves also, but then praying for family as well. And that produces a healthy prayer life, like and I think that principle, it kind of carries throughout life, isn't it? Because you can't, if you just eat broccoli and that's all you did and went to sleep, you wouldn't get healthy. It just wouldn't happen.
So what is the healthy thing to
We know what it is. It's a healthy person, or what that consists of, is a balanced diet of good food and exercise. That's like, obviously, what I'm basically saying is that basically essentially saying the danger of that, of living that hermit life, you end up starting to pray for yourself and you don't care about others, which is bad.
I've put out a poll on my Instagram, on my story, and so far 3 people have replied. Mr. Popular.
Jeez.
I was hoping for more replies, but only 3. But the 3 have provided a point that we can talk on.
Don't worry, Alvin. They're coming soon.
Listen, 8 people went onto the ark. I'm not saying the people who responded. That's not what I'm saying. Yo,
That was bad mindset.
Remember,
eight people went on the arc, mate.
I'm not saying the three who responded are the only eight. Nah, what I'm saying is, like, I mean, regardless of how much. Never mind. Forget I said that. Anyway, what I'm saying is, numbers don't matter. So the question that I asked was, the question that I think Cam, you asked the question, do you only pray when you feel like it? Two said yeah, and one said no. So it's like, I think that most of the time that's how we do it. We only pray when we remember, or when something hits us sideways, and like, oh goodness gracious me, the only person who can sort this out is God. Rather than talking to God because we want a relationship with Him. So like, we must have actual relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's what He wants. So I don't think it's as it's not uncommon that is the case, but by the grace of God it will become common that we pray all the time to God, we're talking constantly with Him. Anything that stood out?
Why do I pray? I pray because I want to thank God for what He's done and for what He's about to do. I pray because I want to talk to Him. And I pray because I need His help.
Now, something that stood out for me, SC 98.3, prayer in the closet as you go about your daily labor.
That's what I want to talk about. So, yeah.
Let your heart be uplifted by God. Point three.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that in terms of
with a secret prayer royalty.
With a cheeky secret prayer. I mean, we see it in obviously like Daniel's kind of life, innit? Like, it wasn't a secret to be actually no. Scrap that. No.
I have to scrap that one.
Was a different situation. Let me scrap that. Okay. When it comes to us, let's just bring it just to us. Like me, for example. There's definitely certain things that I'd only pray to God about, just me and God in it. Because as you were saying, Justin, like yesterday when you was praying in it, and like the stuff that's coming out, and like you know when you say stuff out, it's different to when you keep it in your head, in it.
Definitely.
Like, so it's almost twofold, because it's kind of therapeutic to kind of say it out loud, or to kind of talk, like rationalize it out loud, but then you also, it's like that double positive effect of like praying to God and like having Him like give you answers back and stuff. Like, it's definitely needed. And I feel like the world kind of tries to like replicate that in other ways, but just not give credit to God in a weird way, innit?
Definitely.
Yeah. You mean that whole thing of like, we've said it before, like that whole speaking it into existence. In terms of like God teaches like speaking things into existence in a way, but we don't speak the things into existence.
He does.
We just ask Him for things, because He even talks about like us asking for things, and when we ask, we need to believe. We need to believe, because if we don't believe, it ain't gonna happen, mate. So it's almost like you have to, speaking things into existence is like the beta, or like the just the not, it's not the real thing.
It's not, you know, the, and nothing. And the interesting thing as well is, you know, I want to be careful how I say this.
Drop it like it's hot.
Speaking to existence is foolishness, I can't lie.
I mean,
you can't
Satan,
you can't speak things into existence, bro.
You cannot come. Satan can answer prayer.
The same. I agree. Like,
you know when Satan gives people things that they want.
I agree.
So if Satan can answer prayer and God, well, some prayer. I know, like, I don't want to say prayer, that because that makes it sound. But like, if Satan can give you, I don't want to say prayer.
I think he can manipulate situations into your
favor.
Again, it's the counterfeit of what God is doing.
100%.
Like, because okay, Satan can do miracles.
False miracles they refer to. Yeah,
but it's the counterfeit of what. Like, God is really doing this thing.
Yeah,
he's really on it.
Let me put it a different way. I've thought about how I want to. Satan can give you what you ask for. As far as God allows and as far as he's able to, he can give you what you ask for. Now, for example,
Satan
can give you what you ask for.
What you ask.
What you desire.
What did you say?
So
after that,
far
though?
As God allows.
Wait, like, so Satan has to go to God for permission?
No, like, if,
is that what you're saying?
Like, there's nothing that Satan can do without God allowing it to take place. So, for example, do you remember
Go on, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, in the book of Job, Satan wanted to take Job out.
Okay.
But God only Satan go so far. So here's another example. Satan, do you remember when the prophets of Baal were crying out for fire to come down from heaven, the challenge that Elijah issued? Satan wanted to fulfill that. God did not allow it. That God allowed it not to be possible. It was impossible for Satan to call the fire down from heaven. But then God called down the fire from heaven, right?
And it was this different vibe.
On the other hand, though, at the end of time, Satan is going to be able to call down fire from heaven, or he's going to he'll be able to emulate what God did then. So, like, so only as far as God allows Satan to work, does Satan work? If that makes sense.
But I'd also say as well that the things that, okay, certain things we want are sinful, isn't it? So the devil. And some stuff's kind of not in the middle, but it's like, okay, if you ask for money, and you're still a selfish person, Satan will give you that, and you will prosper. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll probably have the big house or whatever, but like, really, you'll still be
selfish.
Like, you can take advantage of it, but like, you can still live a sinful life in it. But when God gives you riches, or when God is bestowing stuff on you, it's not like you kind of have to. You have to kind of adhere to what he's saying.
I've watched people who've blown all their money that they've won. They've won the Euro Millions, and all their money has been gone in years. Living a mad life.
I remember he was down to his last 100 grand, but then luckily he started flipping houses on it, and then he was like,
So what I was saying is, like, the reason I was saying, if Satan can offer you things, then the question becomes, how do you know that the options before you are either from God or from Satan? So, for example, Matthew chapter 4. There, that's it.
If it's violating the law, it can't be of God.
That's it.
Because God never contradicts himself, basically. Yeah. So essentially, either look in the Ten Commandments or look at the principles of God's law in it. So for example, you couldn't be, you know, like modern day slavery or something like that, or like, you couldn't be into like the most heinous things and be like, yo, God bless me with all of this.
Yeah.
Them, because God wouldn't have blessed you with that, you know what I'm saying?
So, like,
it violates his law.
Yeah, here's an example. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. So this is where Satan is tempting Christ. Again, the devil taketh him up into a high. So again, the devil took him up into a high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. So Satan goes into Abraham Mountain and shows Christ all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and say to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Satan says, I will give you the world which you have. Now Christ has come to conquer the world, but Christ is coming to conquer the world via his death. Satan says, you don't have to die to have the world. I'll give it to you. It's yours. All you have to do is fall down and worship me. Now, Christ then goes on to quote exactly what Cameron said, which was like, now what does God say? Thus saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So Christ's reply to Satan is, God says this, therefore what you're willing to grant is not of God. Of course it's not of God, because you're Satan, but
I pray because I like to communicate with the person who knows everything, about me, and knows the plans that he has for me. I pray because sometimes in life there's no one else you can really talk to but God, and for me that just gives me so much comfort and hope, and I thank God for the opportunity of prayer.
Again, this kind of comes down to the conversation we was having before, you know.
Go on.
Unless you know God's law,
mm-hmm.
Your thoughts,
you're more likely to just give into it stuff.
Cam, come closer.
You're not gonna have the barometer to test it by, innit? Like, you're not gonna have.
You might have to go back to the, yeah, because you were talking louder earlier. You're not talking as loud as you were before.
Bro, I'm talking loud. Don't tell me how I'm not talking.
Yes.
Tell him again, Cameron.
Stay calm.
No, you have to believe in yourself. Even though I look a mess right now, my hair is a mess.
Oh man,
you know,
trust me, man.
Like,
I wasn't gonna say. I'm glad you said it.
sad. Nah, but stop from the beginning.
You don't look too cute either.
Sad.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not gonna have that.
Touche.
Man said touche, you know.
So what was I saying?
This one about a barometer.
So I'm up for the minute. I'm trying to be like Alvin, innit?
No, slowly, you're not. Stop it. I'm trying to be like Christ.
Sorry. Nah, what's the barometer though? Like, let's tackle that.
Oh, like, just a tester, like, like it helps.
A sort of scales.
Yeah, a scale, exactly.
Okay, cool.
If we don't have those, then we don't know what's good or bad, innit? So it's important, like, even in terms of like linking it back to prayer, it's important to talk to God, because then we'll know what he wants of us as well. Obviously not just by praying, but praying and reading the Bible. That's why, like, it's almost like
that's the two-way conversation.
Okay, so in uni you have the text and the sources and stuff, but then you also have like studies which have gone out and like spoken to people, and then you get like experiential knowledge in it, and they say experiential knowledge is just as valuable as the textbook knowledge, even more so, because that's what the kind of textbook stuff is based on, not always, but it should be based on it. So,
like the case studies.
Case studies.
Another case study or two, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, man.
Nah, prayer, I hear that.
Prayer is part of the experience, man. If I was gonna say, a beginner's guide to prayer, when you're praying, just start with, like, some people say dear God, but that can kind of get mad repetitive, innit? Just start with that, just talk,
like take pauses as well. I feel like people feel like their prayers to be like mad fluid or whatever, but
yeah, you can think about what you're praying about.
Yeah, think about what you, it's like talking, think about what you're saying to God, innit? Like you don't say dear father and like, you know what I mean? Like, I hate them type of prayers, but yeah, I used to pray
intentionally, basically.
But yeah, be intentional.
I pray because it gives me an intentional focus and an intentional space to be able to communicate with God.
Just chat to him about who's getting you mad at work, who's getting you mad at uni.
Not just who's getting mad. Talk about everything.
Who's getting you mad in general, really?
Or else, not just, come on, off it. Mad, just not mad. Talk to him, talk to God about everything. Everything, every aspect of life.
Make sure you include, like, thanking for stuff, even if it's, like, super small. So, like, I know we take for granted waking up, but seriously, thank him for waking up in the morning, because it is a blessing to wake up in the morning. Yeah, just obviously, like, we can't tell you like the step by step things. Obviously, we've mentioned there's a the Lord's Prayer, so you can take the blueprints from that and incorporate that in your own prayer life. But apart from that, just chat to him, man, and start today.
I guess so. In this, my conclusion would be, so some of what we've covered, I guess what prayer is. Prayer is a conversation. It's breathing. It's being linked to life itself. Talking to God. It's why pray? Pray to talk to God about anything and everything. Pray because God wants to talk to us. We pray because God wants to talk to us. He wants to reason with us. He has so many solutions to so many problems that we have. How should we pray? We didn't go into this in too much detail about the public and the private prayer. We didn't explore too much of the detail with regards to what public prayer should be like and what versus a private prayer. But as we always say, the chapter's there for the reading. And we will never be able to go as deep as we want to, otherwise we'll be here for hours.
Ages.
Yeah. And pray to God continuously. Like, if we pray to God continuously, our minds will be on Him, and Satan will have, I don't want to say a difficult time. If our minds are stayed on God, Satan will have an impossible time conquering us. And I guess that will be. That's my conclusion on the matter. Justin?
I'd say that just make sure your prayers are intentional, as Cameron said before. And obviously keep God in everything, basically. Because prayers are a very important thing anyway, like as in regards to communication. Prayer is just like the essential thing. And obviously don't really be afraid to like pray in silence or silently. Because like obviously it's just a way to like keep like it's a way to keep your thoughts from getting manipulated, basically, as you'll basically read if you do read it yourself. So yeah, just don't be afraid of prayer. Don't be afraid to just like sometimes just like go on your knees and just pray, or even just stand up, even on the bus, just pray. Just stay in that constant communication with God, because like he just wants to speak to you, you know what I mean? You know, the teachers that just like, the teacher's just like, yo, class, talk to me. What do you immediately? You're paying £9,000. Come and talk to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what God wants of us. Like, so just literally communicate with Him, talk to Him, and he'll do everything for you. It's not like God will do His best. God will do it if it's according to His will, of course. So yeah.
Nice. I guess that's it.
Really.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, one more thing. Sorry, it's got one more thing on the thing. Like, we're just thanking, like, oh yes, Justin. We were just thanking everyone for like staying with us for a year, innit? So yeah,
it's been a year. It's been 5,000 listens.
Yeah,
and we started interacting with you guys. In this episode, there is a link that you can use to talk to us, to ask us any questions, to make any comments, say where you agree or disagree with us, pose a dilemma, make a prayer request, and it's all anonymous as well. So please, please, please click on that link and get in touch with us.
Yo, it's been good.
It's been emotional.
It's been emotional.
Been emotional. Hold it down. POP.
Mm-hmm.
Safe.
Love you guys. Bye bye. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the After Sundown podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it and it's been of some benefit. Please click the link in the description to communicate with us. There's a nice little Google form there. We want to hear what you have to say. Also, please share this podcast with friends, family, anyone really. And finally, follow us on our Instagram page at After Sundown Podcast. We look forward to seeing you there as well. Guten Abend.